Lord, grant me the grace that I may see myself as I truly am. I think the right attitude to have when thinking about Lent and getting prepared for Lent is to look at Lent as an opportunity. It is a great and wonderful opportunity. The church does not command us to suffer for suffering's sake. The church doesn't command us to do penance just to do penance. There's a purpose behind it. The main purpose is to draw us closer to our Lord. Because how can we call ourselves true Christians if we don't suffer like Christ did? This season is designed, you could say, to get us prepared and to get us closer to a deeper understanding of the love that Christ has for us through sacrifice. We know that our Lord, he suffered in every way imaginable. He suffered in his body, and he suffered in his heart. All the pains of his brethren rejecting him, the people who he's come to save not recognizing him for who he is, and having to endure all these things, the betrayal, the false trial, and then eventually the crucifixion. These horrible things our Lord endured. How are we to relate to him? How are we to understand suffering if we do not willingly suffer as he suffered? But we ask ourselves this question always at the beginning of Lent. Why does God ask me to suffer? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Does that pop into your head? We ask ourselves, was not Christ's passion sufficient? That's basically what we could call the Protestant hang-up. They erroneously understand this or try to make sense of this. They fail to realize that in order to be a true Christian, we have to suffer like Christ. Yes, he opened the gates of heaven, and he died for us, and he's redeemed us. But it's our job to imitate him, to put into practice what he has done. So sometimes, good Catholics, we fall into that temptation. Why do I have to suffer? Why am I experiencing suffering? I don't want to suffer. That makes me feel sad. God doesn't wish me to be sad. That's the common temptation. We have to supernaturalize suffering, not view it as just the pain that we feel. We have to recognize a very important truth. We have to understand a very important thing about suffering. What does suffering do for us? Suffering, it makes us look to the supernatural for help. That's very important. Suffering allows us to recognize that as human beings, we're broken. We have fallen human nature. Suffering forces us to go outside of ourselves, outside of the world that we see, the comforts of the world. Suffering forces us out of that, and it forces us to go to God for help. So it's very important. Not in and of itself, but it's a means to an end. It's a means to peace, union with God. Our Lord, he gives us the answer, and we'll see this come up many times during Lent, and this is our main focus, is on the cross. Our Lord says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Our Lord's words. And also we have the verse, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. Basically, unless you suffer, unless you willingly endure some suffering, you will perish. Why? Because you will think that this life is made to be your everlasting happiness. It is not. This life is not meant to be happy in a certain sense. Yes, God gives us natural happiness and supernatural happinesses to keep us going. But that's not our primary focus here. Our everlasting happiness is in heaven. We have to focus on that. That's why this season draws us, it basically draws that out of us, forces us. Because naturally, if Holy Mother the Church didn't impose the strict law of fasting on us, we might never enter into this level of denying ourselves. And we would, because of our fallen human nature, we like to take the easy road. Unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. And I think our prayer, as we start off Lent this week, it should be echoing the gospel. Lord, grant that I may see myself as I truly am. And also, Lord, grant that I may see the world as it truly is. What does that mean? Well, basically what we've been talking about, that the earth is not our everlasting home. Our true peace is not to be found here. We will drive ourselves crazy trying to find peace and happiness here. So we should seize this wonderful opportunity, the Lenten season. We have so many supernatural helps. Think of all the extra graces that we're given during this season to carry out this wonderful work of trying to cut away those distractions in our life and trying to draw closer to our Lord. We have so many extra graces helping us. Let us really seize those and make good use of these graces. Lent is the perfect time to analyze ourselves and to reorder our priorities. So that's why we give things up, not as an end in itself. We give things up so that we can add something in its place. That's a very important part about the Lenten exercises. Because we tend to trivialize these sacrifices, these things that we give up. Sometimes we miss the point. We miss the point of why we're doing it. We think we're almost doing it just as like a something that we can look back and say, wow, I did that. I gave that up. It's almost like a personal achievement. Or we look at it for self-betterment in like the natural sense instead of the supernatural. That's the wrong understanding. We give things up not as a means in itself, but so that we can replace it with something much better. We're trying to overcome a bad habit that we have, especially if it's a sinful habit. We have to replace that with something good. If not, it's just this hole. We have to put something in that hole. And it has to be some virtuous good habit that replaces that thing that was occupying the limited space that we have in our heart. So a good Lenten practice or a good Lenten plan, it consists of three things, three basic things. First, give up something. That's obvious. Give something up. And second, what are we going to fill in its place? What extra prayers are we going to say in place of that thing that we're giving up to try to form that good habit? And third, what are we trying to achieve? We have to have a clear vision of that. That goes with anything in life. We've been hearing that in the epistles from St. Paul the previous weeks here, the preparation for Lent. And there's a very specific reason for that, that we are precise in why we do what we do. Just like the examples from St. Paul with regard to the athletes. They do a certain thing for a reason. They train a certain area of the body for a reason so that they can accomplish this task. Those are the themes and concepts from the previous weeks. And that should be exactly how we formulate our personal goals for Lent. Our main goal to grow closer to our Lord by this threefold step. Give something up, or multiple things. Fill that in with something else, a good habit, something that we're going to do. And then have a set thing that we're striving to achieve, a virtue that we're trying to achieve. I think it's very helpful to write that down. And this avoids a major pitfall that people fall into. People have this mindset, they go into Lent and they just make this resolution that really isn't much of a resolution at all. They just say, you know what, this Lent I'm just going to be good. Well, that doesn't work. It simply doesn't work, because our fallen human nature will just eat that up. So we want to be very specific. I encourage writing it down. Write down what we are going to give up, what we are going to put in place of that, and the virtue. Strive to pick one or two. Don't pick 25. Pick one or two that we're trying to achieve and stick with that. That's way more effective than trying to fix our entire fallen human nature in one Lent. Let us focus on one thing. Some other things that we want to avoid during our Lenten season. Obviously, if we're trying to suffer, we want to suffer well. That's what we want to do. Therefore, we want to avoid anything that's going to prematurely stop that suffering. We want to get out of that mindset of, I'm just going to try to get this done so then I can alleviate the pain. It's almost the mindset of, I'm carrying my cross, but I'm ready to take it off my shoulder. That's the wrong mindset. Because we want to strive to grow towards a love, a peace in the suffering. That's the true goal. To be able to endure the pain, the suffering, peacefully. To find peace and consolation in that, knowing that we are becoming more Christ-like. That's the goal. So we want to avoid any avoiding the suffering prematurely. The common one is, sometimes it's not sinful, but it's a funny thing you could say. Staying up late Saturday night to get the snack at midnight on Sunday. That's a common one. We want to avoid that mindset as much as possible. It weakens the very point of sacrificing in the first place, that mindset, because that mindset is holding us back from giving of ourselves. We want to avoid that. We also want to avoid, as we mentioned before, an unrealistic set of goals. Too many goals that we can't focus on one. We want to pick one and stick with it. And I think another pitfall that we experience, not just during Lent, but we have this mindset, we think that if I give this thing up, I am going to be sad and gloomy because I don't have the thing that makes me happy. That's a false mindset. And it's really not true. In the spiritual life, if you do give these things up and you are diligent in it, many times, more often than not, a person with goodwill and intention, they give up these things they like, especially when it comes to the media and music and these kinds of things, the entertainments that occupy so much of our life. When you give those things up and you replace it with something spiritual, you don't look back. You really don't ever say, I missed that thing. That thing was better. Because God will lead you to understand, He will allow you to see that the supernatural things are worth far more than all these earthly things that we think make us happy. The worldly things, they trick the mind. In fact, they're actually designed. It's fascinating, especially with regard to the media. These things are designed to get us addicted to them. And it makes us, it almost eliminates our ability to think critically or supernaturally on things. It clogs the mind. It doesn't allow it to think as it should. So instead, as if that's most of the things that are on our list to give up for this Lenten season, let us focus on replacing those things with something spiritual. And I know some people, a priest could preach a million times that you need to do spiritual reading. And certain people can't bring themselves to read a single page. Why is that? our fallen human nature, ignorance. We want to remain ignorant, naturally. We want to take the easy path. We want to be lazy. There's a mental hang up there. If I pick up this book, that's going to mean I'm going to have to change my life, and I don't want to. That's the wrong mindset. Spiritual reading, whether that's spiritual reading or listening to audiobooks or sermons, all these good possible things to fill in the hole, so to speak, spiritual reading fixes an absolute magnitude of problems that we have in our life. And if you honestly do it, if you've never done it before, even if you take one page a day out of a single book, and that's all you do every single day, a single page, it will change your life. Spiritual reading fixes a whole mass of problems. That's ignorance, first and foremost, with regard to our faith. We could say it helps us with temptations. It's a remedy against the temptations against faith, hope, and charity, because then we start to see things as they truly are. It helps heal depression. It makes us recognize our purpose in life. Spiritual reading obviously helps us fight spiritual laxity and spiritual dryness. And the list goes on and on. So let us really strive to put that into practice. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to read a 300, 400 page book in 2 days. Read a single page of something every single day. Whether that's the masses, read the epistle and gospels for the mass of the day, anything. Fill in the things that you're giving up, and you will see a change in your life. You will see less temptations. You will see less difficulties. Why? Because you will begin to see things as they truly are. The difficulties will no longer become difficulties because they won't appear to be difficulties at all. You will see them as graces. That's a very important thing. So let us keep this in our mind as we start off this Lenten season this week and say that prayer that we hear from the blind man in the gospel. Lord, I ask, Lord, grant that I may see. We want to be able to say at the end of Lent on Easter, Lord, now I see, now I get it, I understand in a deeper way the love that you have for me. That's what we want to be able to say. That will only come if we use this time well. It will not come on its own. It will not happen on its own. God does not force that without our cooperation. But God is ready and he is there to give it to us. He wants to give it to us. So let us say that prayer. Lord, grant that I may see. And very often we forget about this. This is my final point. We forget to ask for this special grace, I think, many times. We forget to ask God to help us carry our cross peacefully. We forget to say a prayer that sounds like this: Lord, grant that I may find peace in carrying the cross that you have chosen for me. Many times we forget that we can pray for such a thing. And we know that the words of our Lord, Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, I will give it to you. So let us reflect on these things and strive to start Lent well. We have all these helps available at our right at our fingertips. So let us strive to repeat that phrase over and over to ourselves as we begin Lent. Lord, grant that I may see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.